This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God. Brother Fletcher, we're glad to have you in Moss Bluff. Are we glad to have the man of God in Moss Bluff with us? Come in Jesus' name.
It's good to be here with you. You can be seated. It is indeed my privilege and my honor to be here. I have always respected your pastor. Over the years, even when he and I didn't have really any kind of connection, but just seeing him, hearing things about him, I've always respected Brother Mahoney. And to get to be around him a little bit, it's just my privilege and my honor. So I give honor to him and Sister Mahoney this morning. Just appreciate him allowing me to come be with y'all. This morning, for those who want to turn there, I'll be going to 1 John 4:3. 1 John 4:3. In the back, there's a book that came about from a lot of different notes that I put together over a period of time. If you're interested, they're out there and someone will be there to help you purchase one of those. I thank God for his presence, what I feel in this service. And I would not want to be in this pulpit. I want to be in his presence. So I love what I feel here, the presence of God that we feel here this morning. 1 John 4:3. In every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Our title this morning is Antichrist Rising. Lord, we thank you for this day.
Yes, we do.
We thank you, God, for meeting with us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for truth.
We thank you for
God, I pray that you open our understanding this morning. Enlighten us, God, to what you have for us in this message and in this service. God, I pray that you anoint your messenger, Lord, and I pray
Absolutely.
That you're with us, God, and put your words in my mouth. So that I can deliver. God, give us all the mind of Christ. I pray for the anointing on each one of us this morning. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Can somebody say in Jesus' name? The world is being subjected to the revolutionary pattern of tribulation lifestyle that will soon consume the globe. Many pre-runner antichrists have come, have gone, and are currently in place carrying out the spirit of antichrist's agenda, manipulated by hell's boardroom of demonic strategists. Our text tells us the spirit of antichrist is at work, has been at work through the ages of time, manipulating people, events, situations to bring us to our current point of chaos. Forerunners' combined actions will culminate in unprecedented great tribulation with the Antichrist taking over global control. We live in an era that is struggling against evilness, powering up their leader to world domination. Up to this point, wars, terrorism, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, famine, dysfunction has devastated families. Communities has devastated villages, cities, nations, society all over this globe. But nothing, The greatest catastrophe does not come close to comparing to the intense destruction, sorrow, satanic dominion that is on its way hurtling toward us with only one hope of escaping. And that escape is the rapture of the church.
That's right.
Hell preaches this message of deception. People buy into it, sinking into the quagmire of its trickery, drugged, intoxicated in the euphoria of complacency, not doing anything to correct their dilemma. Today we experience a stream of Antichrist sentiment and conduct that is soon to turn into an ocean. When the Antichrist appears, even former Christians will welcome him because their hearts will be of kindred spirit. Our text tells us that the spirit of Antichrist is even now at work in the world, meaning then, during the day that Scripture was written, and now, during the end time spirit of Antichrist recruitment. Romans 1:18 through 32, Paul describes the corrupted spiritual condition of the Roman Empire. John clearly taught us that Rome was a political agent of the spirit of Antichrist. From this truth, we can conclude that the Apostle Paul described the social deterioration of the spirit of Antichrist. Correlating Romans 1:18 through 32 with 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5 paints a picture of the deterioration then, but describes the final expression of the rise of the Antichrist, picture of what the world looks like in its final form. Through time, the spirit of Antichrist has used humanity to advance its agenda. Men driven by an unseen to the natural eye force, manipulated by a dark, sinister world bent on world domination, straining with each evil step through time to reach the place where all of the wickedness from the pits of hell could finally spew out all over this world unrestrained. We see the effects of this spirit of darkness all around us as it advances its kingdom in this earth, gaining momentum with each passing humanistic compromise. We have now reached a place in time that the world rebels against God. The spirit of this age works over time in every part of our world, bombarding us from every direction. No way can I do justice in a short few minutes in attempting to paint the picture of all the avenues of attacks, but let's look at a couple of the more obvious. 1 Timothy 4:1 tells us that during the end time, people would depart from their faith, would give themselves over to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We live experiencing this fulfillment of Scripture. Within the so-called secular definition of Christianity, great apostasy occurs, completely carrying out the Antichrist agenda and role-playing the part of instead of Christ's definition of Antichrist. Mainline religions now champion same-sex marriage, practicing homosexual clergymen and women, an open denial of the inspiration of Scripture. Sin is no longer sin. The Bible has been justified down to a watery source, substance of no value. People do what they want, live any way their lustful flesh takes them. Pedophile priest scandals run rampant and are covered up, and at the same time, the Roman Catholic Church is poised politically to once again be a force in the world. Thus, we recognize Rome with both ecclesiastical and political powers as a Bible for tales. Mankind got itself into trouble building the Tower of Babel into the heavens to rise themselves to the level of God. Today, once again, man rises above God with their own self-justification. Throughout time, up until a few years ago, homosexuality was considered an abomination, not tolerated. And everyone that lived in the sin lived in the closet. Today it's flamboyantly exercised throughout the world, spurred on by the spirit of this age. It threatens the very fundamentals of truth. Regardless of what your opinion is or mine, the Bible says it's an abomination. And those with unrepentant sin will have their part in hellfire and brimstone. But in what ways does the spirit of Antichrist and homosexuality correlate? Here, there are many. For the sake of time, consider just a few. Hell's agenda coupled with homosexuality perverts the human sexual orientation, identity, and behavior, thus causing personal confusion, which is the spirit of confusion. It redefines morality and sin to be an open-minded concept free from biblical input. It promotes the gay lifestyle through the medium of movie, TV, and entertainment. The spirit of Antichrist introduces children to the gay lifestyle early so they will accept the lifestyle. It attacks the male and female fundamental creation of God. It breaks down the family unit ordained and created by God, breaking down the very foundation of God's creation. Why? Daniel 11:37. The Antichrist will not regard the desire of women. The Antichrist is opposite of God, instead of God. Whatever God is, has created, stands for. The Antichrist and spirit of Antichrist is going to be exact opposite. But the deceptive side of the spirit will attempt to deceive people into belief that it wants to be like God or of Christian values. That's why you hear gays expressing to be accepted by Christianity. I have no problem believing many of these people have a real desire to be part of Christianity. There is a void in every person that only God can fill.
Amen. That's right.
But is anyone living in sin, whatever the sin is, at the same time proclaiming to be Christian? It is twisted, unbiblical thinking. Why would a person claiming to be gay profess to be a Christian? It contradicts itself. It's an abomination and goes totally against the Bible.
That's right.
The reason this is happening, homosexuality within so-called Christianity, is satanic powers from within ripping apart any semblance of anything Christ-like, destroying, and in place of Christ spins its demonic agenda with everything that is not connected to the source of Jesus Christ. During this end time hour, you've got to be connected or you will be blown away as a chaff sifted in the wind. Anything loose is not standing. Why am I spending so much time here this morning? Because the Christians, the apostolics, are tolerating something God called an abomination and he says he hates.
Right.
Hate the individual? Absolutely not. But hate the sin just like the Bible says to do. Somebody has to take a stand and decide, I will not tolerate. Somebody has to believe the word of God that sin is sin and it is an abomination. We better, because the spirit is after your kids. It's after your teenagers. It's after young people to accept abomination that the Lord says he hates. Isaiah 59:3-7, another important part of the agenda is abortion. I don't condemn the one making such a grave mistake, deciding to abort, but nor do I condone. This is a domino effect of one sin stacking on top of another, and one can only imagine the distress it causes. It's a tragic trap of the enemy. It's the Antichrist spirit of this age at maximum power. God strictly warns his people against shedding innocent blood.
That's
An unborn child is among the most innocent of all beings. Google abortion and tell me, after looking at those pictures, if you can, where God is in that. Abortion is instead of Christ. Leaders around the world openly promote agendas in direct contradiction to the Word of God. The immoral things that years ago appalled, that presidents, world leaders once could not get away with, now is tolerated. Even religion shamelessly turns their eyes and ignores its own knowledge of sin within political leadership as well as within its own organization.
That's right.
Abortion sheds innocent blood, and Jesus said of anyone hurting a child, it would be better for a millstone to be tied around their neck and for them to be cast into the sea than for harm to be caused a little one.
Amen.
Yes, there is forgiveness.
Amen.
But nations, leaders aren't asking for forgiveness. They are promoting and pushing the abortion agenda. The Antichrist spirit wreaks havoc with abortion because it goes so strongly against the laws of God.
That's right.
We're talking this morning about how we've reached the point we're at and why the chaos, the upheaval of calamity all over this world. We're giving a few answers why things are so crazy. The Muslim population in the UK has doubled since 2001. The Muslim takeover is not taking place just in Europe. A recent headline just a couple of weeks ago here in the United States read, Obama to grant asylum to 500,000 mostly Muslim Syrian refugees. Europe is having many financial challenges. China and Japan are faced with issues. North Korea wants to nuke everybody. Russia and China flex their muscles at every opportunity. Nations everywhere is in a turmoil. Before Pope Benedict retired, he called for a one-world financial entity. The newly elected Pope has continued on with this. Pope Francis has picked up the issue and is calling for a resolvement of money issues globally with a global fix in place. Pope Francis, since being empowered as world leader of Catholicism, has reached out to the gays, has reached out to atheists, to Muslims, with the cardinals having to run interference and making statements that the Vatican hasn't abolished sin. What this is all about is meshing into a one-world religion under the New World Order. Globalization setting up the reign of the Antichrist.
That's right.
We are closer than what you think.
That's right. How true.
This thing is about to bust wide open.
That's right.
The Middle East is a lit powder keg escalating to eruption stage at any moment.
It's the truth.
Global pieces fit into place. The world lines up with tribulation conditions ready to explode into action at any moment. The spirit of Antichrist has gained momentum, is funneling everything toward the events of all events, beginning with a one-world government. Several years ago, America was a very independent nation without any strings attached of control from other nations. Any strong influence controlled by organizations such as the UN were powerfully resisted. Today, it's quite a different story.
Yes, it is.
The U.S. didn't fit into the Antichrist criteria. Chaotic control by dictatorship of the Antichrist will enforce. Thus, the independent thinking had to be broken down. The barriers of the free will of the people and government by the people and for the people had to be demolished. Citizens wonder who or what can be trusted with all the FEMA and the NSA tactics that have been exposed recently. No longer are we considered such conspiracists, extremists any longer. Because the exposure of all the things are there. One senator says we're already under globalization, but don't even realize it. The chilling fact is we can draw from other nations' histories before us that tells the stories of a nation evolving from a being a free country to a dictatorship. So because of history lessons, we know anything is possible. But because of Bible, we know that this is the condition that is dominant as the Antichrist steps into power. It's time for people called by his name to simply strengthen their relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a prayer life, you need to get one. The greatest thing that must take place is to turn our prayer life into a lifestyle. Paul said, pray without ceasing. I have to have an altar. I've got to have a prayer life. I've got to be connected to the source, Jesus Christ, that's going to take me through this. It's time more than ever and any other day to have such a relationship with God that we're led in every way and everything by his Spirit. We must have the mind of Christ during this end time hour. We're talking about the spirit of Antichrist's agenda, what has and is taking place to condition the world for a satanically possessed leader to be powered up and given control of the world. It's not just one thing that will do it, but it's many factions that funnel down so that demonic powers can take complete control. Because humanity in their desensitized state of numbness has given the spirit, the Antichrist spirit, the authority and the dominion to do so. The Antichrist is not going to accidentally pop up and overwhelm humanity. The spirit of Antichrist is working, setting up his kingdom, forerunning, laying the groundwork, conditioning hearts. When this man of sin appears, he will be publicly revealed to a world that has already been prepared for his appearance, to hearts that spirits already possess. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 tells us the mystery of iniquity already works. The Antichrist spirit is invading the hearts of many apostate Christians. They are being absolutely possessed of evil. How, you ask? Why would Christians, even cold-hearted, ever turn to the Antichrist? It's because they're like-minded with him. John writes, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the Father, the love of the Father is not in him. The risk of becoming cold in your relationship with Christ, John warns, is that those loving the things of the world has opened themselves to the spirit of Antichrist. He's saying, you know these are the last days. Too many individuals are full of self-centered, covetous Antichrist spirit. He's warning, don't fall in the trap that the Antichrist has sprung, conditioning the world for its demonic leader's debut and lifestyle. How can this take place with over 7 billion people on planet Earth? How can there be such a great, subtle, subliminal impact of preparation without the knowledge of the prepping taking place on such a grand scale? How can that happen? The task is huge. It's no small undertaking. The tentacles are far-reaching, and there are many performing different tasks. One such tentacle is entertainment. It's probably the most far-reaching success effect. Entertainment includes a wide array of vehicles, books, movies, music, gaming, sports, recreation, on and on. I'm not implying all entertainment is bad, but I am saying we better know how to manage this stuff. I can make fishing and hunting a bad thing. Worldwide, the culture of entertainment has taken over. Even from the mud huts of Africa, I've seen this with my own eyes. You can watch a guy walk out of a mud hut in Africa with one of these, smartphone, and even a Bluetooth in his ear. I've seen this more than once. Entertainment is everywhere. Not only are they on the phone, but they're also punching up the same apps that you and I are coming up with, punching up. They're watching and they can watch the same entertainment that you and I watch. Or we don't watch. Worldwide, the culture of entertainment is everywhere. There are many examples. I'll give just two that I believe have had spirit world-changing effects in the last couple of years. In Super Bowl 2012, Madonna entertained openly using satanic and occult symbols unabashedly, ending in black mass ceremonial dress, performing her hit song, Like a Prayer. She commented to Anderson Cooper in an interview prior to her 2012 Super Bowl performance that she had to deliver a sermon, this is her words, that had to be very impactful. After her performance, the mystical occult world, their analysts, not Christians, were gushing with excitement. One sorceress analyst put it, Madonna delivered a sermon that billions heard, but very few understood, and she ushered in a new era. Most people just see it as entertainment. The majority of individuals scoff that it's anything but a performance. The sad thing is most so-called Christians don't get it. What blows my mind, people that call themselves apostolic, play down that this stuff has any kind of connection to spiritual darkness. It's just entertainment. It's just a movie. It's just a game. It's just fantasy. People align themselves with darkness. Don't get that all of this stuff, since the beginning of time, just happens. They make no connection to there is a game plan. Little by little, the deterioration has taken place. If it had all been thrown at us at one time, if we'd went from Mayberry to Sodom and Gomorrah overnight, the masses wouldn't have bought into it. Madonna allowed to perform with satanic occult symbolism, performing to over 2 billion people worldwide, opened doors into the spirit world of darkness that were previously not open. Yes, she ushered in a new era. Don't you get it? It's not just a game. It's not just a performance. It's not just a movie. It's not just fantasy. It's a battle literally for our minds. Hell wants your mind. You win and lose this battle in your mind. We've got to understand what is taking place and stop tolerating and going along with everybody else's self-justification. Next up on the worldwide entertainment stage of billions of viewers, the 2013 Super Bowl came Beyoncé. Just 12 months prior, Madonna set the stage. Now Beyoncé enters with even more openly bold satanic rituals. Beyoncé, in an interview, describes a force that comes into her, which she calls Sasha Fierce. And basically, it's an alternative personality. She claims that no way could she perform the moves she performs without this force. This demonic possession is clearly necessary to facilitate the agenda of the occult ritual, and Beyoncé is a willing host.
Listen to this.
In the weeks and months following her performance, with interviews proclaiming the force that enhances her performances, there's been a public relations campaign elevating the image of Beyoncé and her possession.
That's right.
Thus, possession is cool. The masses following entertainment seeks to be more powerful. And again, the spirit of Antichrist chalks another one up. It's another step closer to utopia, revealing of the wicked one. It's anybody's guess at this point what Super Bowl 2014 will unfold. Bruno Mars is a known Illuminati and occultist performer. There are many performing artists, all manipulated by the same spirit of this age, striving toward the same goal. World satanic possession, power toward a day that the ultimate one is revealed, taking over as Satan finally has his day on the world stage. The Antichrist embodied by Satan, the world one world leader of the universe. Oh, you skeptical? What about Katy Perry? Parents, Pentecostal pastors. She said it several times over and over in recent interviews. I sold my soul to Satan for the popularity that I enjoy now. Knowing full well what she's done. That's not my words. That's her words. Another entertainer, Dancing with the Stars performer Nicole Scherzinger, says that to be successful in the music industry, you have to sell your soul to the devil. Entertainment has made it cool to be possessed. In the last year, Brother Mahoney, I have dealt with possession and services more than ever in the prior times that I've been in ministry. This message is not about music. It's not really about entertainment. I'm just using an example. There's many avenues. There's many ways that we've gotten to the point we're at. We need to wake up. We need to recognize the things that are around us. I've got technology all over this pulpit up here. I'm not down on technology. I'm not down on games. I'm not down on this. I'm not preaching against air this morning. But I'm saying we better know what we're doing. We better know what our kids are plugged into. We better know what we're connected to. Because the Antichrist spirit is using the same stuff that we're using. And if we're not careful, we'll go down a road, a wrong road. We got to stay on the straight and narrow. Revelation 13:17, speculation has moved from what the mark of the beast could be to what technology will it be. Now the question is, what is the mark of the beast? Scripture gives us specifics of what it will be. Revelation 13:17. The Greek tells us that the mark means a mark or etching, a tattooed mark. In the last few years, tattooing has become widely accepted, no big deal, even fashionable. Once again, trend setting by entertainers making it cool to be imprinted with a tattoo. There is a discussion over what the mark actually is, whether one could take it accidentally. Let's look at Revelation 20 for a moment. I want to draw your attention to the word worshiped. The word worship here means to reverence or adore, to make obeisance, loyalty, or allegiance. This form of worship from the Greek says it's like a dog licking his master's hand. In the worshiping of this evil image of the beast, the individual taking the mark gives themselves over to possession. It is a conscious choice to take on the mark and give oneself over to the demonic spirit of the Antichrist to be controlled by spirits of darkness. Today, the spirit of Antichrist works to set up tomorrow's routine possession for the Antichrist's quick conquering of global power. Kind of sounds like a script from the next movie thriller. But the sobering truth is, it's script, but it's not fantasy. It's reality of a future lifestyle stage to hit this world with unimaginable horror as the tribulation long discussed plays out over a 7-year timetable of demonic dominance. All this culminates for a mind-blowing finale. Today we see many forerunner types of the real deal. Moral decay that is a shadow of complete moral deterioration during the tribulation. Possession today of which is a mere snapshot of dominant possession yet to come. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. Revelation 16 tells us of three nasty unclean spirits that come out of the mouth of Satan, through the mouth of the Antichrist, out of the mouth of the Antichrist system, and goes out into the world. It's the spirits of devils working miracles, deceiving leaders of the earth, and gathers them to Armageddon for one final showdown. Today, demons solicit human acceptance on a limited basis. Then they will dominate with unlimited power. It brings about the climatic event of Armageddon. Armageddon is the final stage of a 3-war campaign culminating to one massive blow-up that has everything involved. Zechariah describes chemical and nuclear warfare. Scripture explains that blood runs as deep as horses' bridles, and there is a dispatch of vultures waiting in the wings for cleanup. It's the most tragic upheaval of humanity this world has ever witnessed, driven by a world intoxicated on demonic power. But this is what it's really all about. Satan has done his dead level best to accomplish some declarations he made. Isaiah 14:13. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And in his main proclamation, I will be like the Most High. He wants to be equal with God and actually take God's place as possessor and ruler of all. He wants to become a completely independent creature, responsible to no one. He wants to be instead of Christ.
That's right.
Thank God we can read the back of the book and we know who wins.
Yes.
He does too. That's why he hates you so much.
Amen.
He knows what you can attain. He has no chance of having. He's out to take down all of the humanity that will listen to his lies. All this time, humanity thought it was about them, thought it was about a dictator, thought it was about this or that. Mankind wrote off the belief of a dark, sinister world, wrote off it was plans drawn up in the boardrooms of hell, wrote off the world of darkness, wrote off a world more real than this temporal world that you and I live in, that sin in today, judge this world greater, arrogantly downplaying the spirit world of evilness.
That's right.
Miscalculated the risk of eternity. They put more value in their possible 70 years, disqualifying the infinity of endlessness. Now, with the last tick of the clock, the church dispensation of time comes to a close. In eternity, time is non-existent. Satan is smashed into oblivion, chained, shackled, barred to the pit. The spirit of Antichrist has had its heyday, even birthing the Antichrist, is cast into the lake of fire. All of its evilness crushed in a moment of time before the ending of time. But where does that leave humanity? Like a player, a mover, a shaker. Humanity that once moved in circles of power, immersed in deception. Now fantasy is gone. Reality is real. Left in a mess of despair, agony of defeat, gloom and doom of anguish, of total enlightenment of what's taking place. Individuals will find themselves once so blinded, sleeping and slumbering. Now they are wide awake.
Hear it.
Enlightened at maximum strength, with every bit of memory flashing, rolling constantly over and over of missed opportunity as it scrolls through minds over and over and over again, never ending. Now realization sets in for those that chose Satan's inferno as a dead joins the living dead in the abyss of eternity's realness of infinity. I've attempted to lay all of this out to form a picture for the purpose of trying to wake us to realize how far down this road we really are. The game playing is over. Everything's for keeps now. The enemy's no longer taking names, it's taking prisoners. The Antichrist is rising in the wings, waiting for the final power up. Way too many people are asleep, blinded, deceived, completely numb to reality of what's taking place. Consider this a wake-up call. Take notice. Become aware of your surroundings. Realize Jesus is coming soon. Regardless of what day it is, today before I lay my head down to sleep, during my sleep, tomorrow, or 50 years from now, I must get ready and I have to stay ready. Forget the debate of when is it. Forget the debate of this one or that one trying to set a date. It doesn't matter. What matters is I get ready and I stay ready. I make up my mind. Nothing comes between me and God. That is my final choice. And I make that choice. And I stand on the word of God today. And I will not back up. Somebody give him a hand clap of praise. Can we all stand? This world's a mess. It is a mess. I mean, when just a couple of weeks ago when we were in 2013, when we were looking at 2014, all you could see was a glaring, chaotic bunch of junk. If you look at what the predictors are saying about what's coming in 2014, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to leave this nation. The problem is you can't get away from it. It's everywhere. I travel just enough to have an understanding of what's around this world. You can't go anywhere where there's not problems. But you know what happened? Jesus Christ looked at Peter one day and he said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the good news this morning. It doesn't matter what's coming. It doesn't matter what's going on. But on this rock, as long as I plug into the church, as long as I plug into Jesus Christ, as long as I put my hand in the Master's hand, he will see me through. Somebody give him a hand clap of praise. Jesus is saying, I've got this. He's not worried. Your pastor made the statement this morning in the office. He said, I don't see Jesus sitting on the edge of the bed chewing on his fingernails and worrying about what's going on. That's not what my God's doing. My God has it all under control. You and I, as children of God, as his bride, we just need to make sure we're in the will of God, that we're doing everything that he wants us to do, that I'm plugged into ministry every way that I can be, because he's got this. Why don't you grab the person's hand beside you? I don't know what this message, if it impacted you or not. It's not an old message. It's fairly new with me. I have given it a couple other places. But every time I've given it, there's a bell ringing. It's saying, wake up. Keith Fletcher, wake up. Wake up. Even though I'm doing this every weekend, wake up, Keith. Wake up. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. God's getting a church ready. Here's what I want you to do this morning while we're still in the pews. I want you to pray for your neighbor. Person, hand you're holding or hand you've got on a shoulder, I want you to pray for them. Prayer I want you to pray is, God, whatever needs to take place, you see their heart, you know everything there is to know about them. Anything that needs to happen with them, I want you to pray it this way. What if it was their prayer that meant the difference between heaven and hell for you? How would you want them to pray for you? Why don't you pray for your neighbor that way this morning? Just simply ask God, show them anything that needs to change. God, in the name of Jesus, you see everybody under the sound of my voice. God, I'm praying for every person in here. I'm praying that you give every one of us a mind of Christ this morning. I'm praying, God, that you open our understanding. I'm praying, Lord, that you touch every one of us. God, anything that needs to change, anything that needs to be exposed to these people individually, God, I pray it right now that you would show them, that you would show